Hey, it's spring, finally. A lot of things going on. And one of those things is fishing. You know, we have some expert fishermen in this congregation. I wish Larry was here this morning. I'd really pick on him. Because Larry Fox, you know what he was doing? I think it was the day before his surgery, wasn't it? He's out on Pitcher Lake filling the boat up with bluegill. He's an expert fisherman. And he knows how to catch them. He's committed to catching them. And he knows what to do with them once he gets them caught. And I would suggest to you that that is something that each one of us need to be. Oh, no, not bluegill, necessarily. But fishers of men. You know, Jesus, in Matthew 4, verses 18 and 19, said, he was walking along beside the Sea of Galilee, and he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and a brother called Andrew. And Jesus said to them, because they were casting their net into the lake, come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. I will make you fishers of men. And at once they left their nets and followed him. You know, we're to be fishers of men. And you're either a fisherman or you're a fish this morning. And I'd like to talk for just a couple of minutes, both individually and collectively, about this business of being fishermen. Because there are certain characteristics that are true of Larry and Jim Harris Savage and some of our other better fishermen. You know, if I haven't mentioned myself or Carl or Bill, Bill and Patty don't get out very much, and when they do, he doesn't always fill the boat anyway. Not like Larry does. But I'd like to share with you some things that the Bible says about us and fishing. You have to know your fish. That's the first point. You have to know your fish. That makes a difference if you're going for salmon, if you're going for catfish. Makes a difference in where you go, what you use. Who are the fish in Dowagiac? You know, I gave a sermon like this about 9 years ago, and I got in trouble with Tracy because I was talking about the neighborhood where she lives, and I said something to the effect that that's where the rich people were, and we probably shouldn't do a lot of fishing there. And she let me know that wasn't a correct evaluation. The idea was right. The example wasn't. But I think it's important to realize that not everybody is probably the best fish for us to go after. And I say that for a couple of reasons. You know, it makes a difference if someone is already intimately involved in a denomination in the area. It makes a difference whether we're talking about people who are rich in this world's goods as to what we can effectively do. And I'm not suggesting there's anybody we shouldn't try to reach. But in Matthew 19 and verse 24, Jesus says it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And I think it's important to realize that that camel through the eye of a needle had specific reference to a hole in a wall around Jerusalem. But that's irrelevant to the message. What Jesus calls us to do is to reach out to those who are in need and recognize their need. And what our resources are as a congregation has to be directed to where it can be most effectively used. In Matthew 9 and verse 36, the Bible says, when Jesus saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. You know, there's a ton of people out there who have no shepherd, who have no direction. Cindy and Julie went out yesterday to visit with Maylene. And when they came back, they were talking. Cindy was talking about how radiant and how peaceful and how positive Maylene was. Here's a woman that's facing a terminal illness, but she's a person who is bright is reaching out, is continuing to show the strength of being a Christian, even in the face of a rough disease. We are sent to help people who are in need, people who are searching, people who are in need. And that's something that brings us to a focus of what we as a group should be doing, as well as individuals. In Luke 5, beginning with verse 29, there's a story about a Levi who had a great feast. And there was a great company of publicans who were present, and the Pharisees murmured, saying, because Jesus ate with them, why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners? And Jesus said, they that are whole do not need a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance. Jesus talked about the capacity to reach out to those who have a recognized need. Some of you may be saying, well, why are we doing the youth rally next weekend? We don't have a whole lot of teenagers here. That's true. But the ones we do have are in need. And we serve all of the teenagers in this whole area. I'm thankful that we have members of this congregation that have taken the lead in reaching out to our young. And we're committing resources next weekend to helping those kids, hopefully reaching out to some young people in this area. We're trying to know who our fish are. And the church has been notoriously lacking in working with the young. I hope we can change that. I hope this is the beginning of a great outreach. Because we have to know our fish. And one of the great opportunities we have in this area is that we have a lot of young people in this region who have no leadership. Our congregations are graying, and the young people have no real teaching that they need to face the challenges of life. And they're facing challenges that are totally different than what you and I faced. What a great opportunity this is going to afford us. And by the way, if you don't know Willie Franklin, Willie primarily works with young people. He and I have worked together at youth rallies many times. He knows kids, and he's effective. So we're committing resources to reaching out to kids because they are one of the things we know we have a need to do in this area. You know, another thing that's interesting about fishing is you have to know where to fish. You ask Larry where to fish, he'll tell you which end of Pitcher Lake to go to. And it's interesting that the Bible has some great fish stories in it. One of the best of those fish stories is in John, the 21st chapter, beginning with the first verse. This is an interesting story. The Bible says, after Jesus appeared to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and it happened this way. Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, from Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee and two other disciples were getting together. And Peter said, I'm going out to fish. And they said, we'll go with you. So they went out and got into the boat, and all night they fished, and they caught nothing. Sound familiar? Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize it was Jesus. He called out to them and said, friends, haven't you caught any fish? No, they answered. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you'll find some. I realize they don't know who Jesus is yet. The Bible says, when they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Apparently, Jesus knew where to fish. Then the disciple who Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. And as soon as Simon Peter heard it say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his garment around him and threw himself into the ocean. He jumped into the water, some translations say. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire burning, coals with fish on it, and some bread. And Jesus said, bring some of the fish that you have just caught. Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged this fish net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153 of them. But even with so many fish, the net did not break. And Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. And none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord Jesus. And Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and they and did the same with the fish. You know, it's interesting that Peter goes fishing, his friends go with him. It's a hot, fishless night. He's fishing in his birthday suit. And Jesus appears and tells them where to fish, and they catch 153 big ones. And Jesus has everything ready for them when they get back. Why did Peter throw himself into the lake? Well, I think he realized that he wanted Jesus to be in his life, and he went to Jesus the fastest way he knew possible. We need to realize the urgency of what we're doing. We have to know where to fish. And we have to know what our source is of the bait that we use. The Bible says the Bereans searched the Scriptures daily to see if it was as Paul said. Acts 17 and verse 11. And we too have people in the community who are willing to examine the Scriptures and to see every day if it was as Paul said it was. But we cannot catch fish just sitting in this building. You know, if Larry fishes in the bathtub, he's not going to catch anything. And we tend to do that. We can't catch fish in this building. We have to provide a way in which we come in contact with the fish. We have to go where the fish are. I'd like you to think about what we're doing here. Why are we having this youth rally? Because we are going to the people we think this is most appropriate to, and we're asking them to come and to hear this man speak. That may not be the most effective way. Why are we having the fun fair? Because we want to get people on the property. We want them to understand that we are people that like to have fun too. We want to get them to appreciate the fact that we are concerned about them and about their families. We're going to have materials available for them when they come. We're going to be talking to them. This is, in fish language, call this chumming. And the idea is that we simply put ourselves in contact with the people that we know have needs. What else are we doing? Well, we got the fair coming up, folks. Been so busy with all this other stuff, we haven't talked about the fair much. Why do we do the county fair thing, the Cass County Fair thing? It puts us in contact with the community. We go where the fish are. Why do we have the food pantry? Why do we have an outreach where we go over to Benton Harbor and get food and bring it here and make it available to people in the area? And we serve a lot of people. Why do we do that? See, we have to know where to fish. And if you're not part of these things, I hope that you'll get involved with them, because we need to continue to reach out. We need to think about other ways that we can get involved in this community. You have to have the right conditions to catch fish. You ever thought about where the apostles went to reach out to people? What were the locations and what were the conditions where they spoke? Well, one place was at the temple, wasn't it? You may not be aware of this, but we frequently have programs. I'm primarily doing this right now, where we go to various denominations and present material connected, in my case, with the existence of God and with the church. We reach out in the temples where people are. It's important to realize that the church can emulate what the first century church did, because one of the things that happened, described in Acts 17, beginning with verse 13, is that Paul spoke in the Areopagus. You know what that was? That was a philosophical meeting. Philosophers, the Epicureans and the Stoics, got together and argued. And Paul went there, and he presented the concept of God and the concept of what it means to live and move and have our being in God. And we too need to have the opportunity and need to take the opportunity to reach out in the various places that are available in our community. Sometime we need to have a community program like the ones that we do in other places. We've had an opportunity with the two colleges in the area. We need to go and have the right conditions. And the Areopagus is a classic example in the Bible of how that was done. You say, well, yeah, but people are going to make fun of us. That's right. People made fun of Paul. Did that stop him? There were those who listened. There were those who didn't. We can make the outreach even on the radio. There are many ways that we can reach out. Another thing about fishing is that you have to have the right bait and you have to make a good presentation. You know, you can have a bait, and if you don't put it there in the right place, and if you don't treat it just right, I think Larry must have a knack. But he moves that worm in such a way that the fish take it. And I think it's important for us to understand that the Bible, New Testament examples are full of that kind of activity. Remember what happened in Acts 2 and verse 37? The Bible says, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. See, people have to become aware of their need. People have to become aware of their need. So what does that mean? Well, it means we need to take advantage of the opportunities given to us. We have a funeral coming up of a man that I've been involved with for many years. Dorothy Shuck passed away this last week, and Jack Shuck, her husband, has a couple of sons and a couple of grandkids that will be there. Three of those kids I've been having discussions with about the church. See, there's no better time to talk to people than when they see need. And when they see Grandma in that casket, I think they're going to be more open to thinking about their own demise, their own insecurity. Sometimes funerals are one of the very best ways to get people to realize the opportunity that we take to serve them and to help them. So we need to take advantage of those things. In Matthew 7 and verse 28, the Bible says, when Jesus ended these sayings, people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority, not as scribes. See, we don't have the capacity to do what Jesus did. God listens to Scripture, or people listen to God speak to people through Scripture, but he won't listen to us. And 2 Timothy 3, beginning in verse 16, tells us, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, that the man or woman of God may be complete, may be perfect, completely furnished to every good work. We need to help people find completeness. One of the things I'd ask you to do is to think about the importance of bringing people to confidence in Scripture. We have a specific program to do that, so many people are not aware of the Bible, not aware of what the Bible teaches. We live in a culture of ignorance. You know, it's interesting, too, that sometimes the way we come to this is by taking advantage of where people are. I want you to listen to Romans, the 12th chapter, beginning with verse 4. The Bible says in that passage, just as each one of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, the church, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. You hear yourself in there? How many of us have gifts? Answer, all of us. All of us. What's this passage telling us? This passage is telling us that having the right presentation is simply sharing your gift. I'm so thankful for some of you that take what has happened in your life and use it as an outreach, sharing with others. One of the things that's interesting to me is that sometimes we are reluctant because we have made mistakes in the past. When I first became a Christian, I said to myself, what can I do? And my response was, I can't do anything. I never owned a Bible until I was 18 years of age. And that one I stole. I never attended a Bible class. Never attended a worship service until I was a teenager. And now all of a sudden I'm a Christian. What am I going to do? And I remember complaining to Ray Muncy, who was the preacher at the North Central Church where I was worshiping at the time. He said, John, there's just one thing you can do. He said, tell your story. Tell your story. And I have been doing that now for 50 years this October. First time I told my story was in Harding University when some of my teenagers that had been in my youth group in South Bend shanghaied me into speaking to a workshop. And that's how the Does God Exist ministry began. And all I've been doing since then is telling my story. What's your story? Had a divorce? That's part of your story. Had a death in your family? Part of your story. Gone bankrupt? That's part of your story. See, there's not a person here that has not had experiences that are unique to you. And the writer in Romans says you need to use what has happened in your life to do some fishing. I hope that we can expand our outreach in the community to include these things. And we need to understand we can't be reluctant. I've had people say to me, you know, you're absolutely crazy. You get up there and you talk about being an atheist. How can you do that? That makes you look small. Well, you look the way you are, you know. What's our priority? Jesus says, take what has happened in your life and use it as a fisherman of men. And you don't have to have eloquent speech. You don't have to have a fancy education. The next verse in that passage I just read, again, that's the Romans 12 beginning with verse 14 and 21. But the very next passage, the very next verse says, let love be your guiding force. Do you really care about people? We have the unique capacity to know how to reach out to people. That's the presentation. And the last point I want to make is you have to know how to handle the fish. You know, people who fish have a concern about just letting the fish lie on the bottom of the boat. You have to keep them alive. You have to keep them fresh. We have great concerns about that in our day and time. We have that struggle here. There are people we're in contact with who haven't been able to stay faithful. We haven't handled them well. How did the first century church do that? Acts 2, verse 46. They continued daily with one accord. Daily. Got a telephone? Silly question. Know how to use it? Silly question. Got a computer? Probably. Got some time? See, they continued daily reaching out to each other. The Bible says they were meeting in the temple because that was an easy place for them to come together. We've got this wonderful facility which is paid for that needs to be used daily. And breaking bread from house to house, they ate their meals together. You know, we sort of snickered a little bit. We said, well, we're having potluck two Sundays in a row. Maybe we ought to have potluck every Sunday. I'm not suggesting we do that. I know there are logistical problems in doing that. But in terms of what we gain from each other and the closeness we have to each other, maybe we ought to do it every day in some way or another. Most of us that come on Wednesday night and Sunday night end up staying here a long time. Sometimes you go and get a couple of tacos or something, just talk. Sometimes we play a mindless game. That's my term. Why do we do that? Nobody's paying attention to the game. We're having the opportunity to share with each other, to grow, to stay close. They continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house to eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and enjoying the favor of the people. You know, there's so much stuff going on among us right now. And it's not just Larry and Maylene. I mean, we all are facing struggles. Who do you share it with? Who helps you carry your load? We need to be together. And that passage in Romans 12, which talks about gifts, includes the gift of hospitality. Spending time together. We have a senior thing going in the area. We meet on the first Tuesday each month at Golden Corral and eat and talk and have a good time. We had a record attendance last Tuesday. And what's important about that is it's no big formal structured heavy thing. It's just an opportunity to get to know one another, people from other congregations, people that we can share with. We met daily from house to house. We have a program at my house third Tuesday of every month. You're invited. We've reached out to Golden Age just because so many of them are alone, but please come. And by the way, the next one's going to be the annual picnic, and you're invited. We'll have a flyer for it. We'll have it when we get closer to it. It's the third Tuesday in June. But the important thing to understand is that we need to know how to handle the fish, and the fish are you and I. The fish are people. People who desperately need what God brings to them through the church. One final question this morning. Are you a fish or a fisherman? Are you helping to reach out? Is that something that is part of your life? All these things that we just talking about, having knowing the fish, knowing where to fish, knowing what the conditions are to catch fish, knowing the right bait, and knowing how to handle fish. Is that something that applies to you? Because if it is, then you're strengthened and you grow by doing that. And if you're a fish, what I mean by that is that you have not become a Christian and you're not actively involved in these activities. Why is that important? Because when you reach out to others, you're the one that profits. I teach a lot of classes here. I'm not sure why. But I teach a lot of classes here. Who learns the most in those classes? Absolutely no doubt about it. It's me. I'm the one that profits. Who participates the most? Well, it's a close race between Cindy and Bill. And I say that jokingly, but in seriousness, why do we like to see that? Because people are reading and thinking and opening themselves up to God. And you're missing that if you're not a fisherman. My prayer this morning is that if you need to respond to God's invitation, that you'll realize the significance and the importance of being a part of reaching out and being the fishers and the men that Jesus talked about. And if we can assist you to that end, we invite you to come this morning and express that need as together we stand and sing to encourage you. Won't you please come?